The Search for Self-Worth. This is The Search for Self-Worth Part 2. And I don't know. It's difficult. You know, in religion, the pendulum swings wide. You know, Jesus says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. So the pendulum swings way wide, and I know myself, I've been caught up in it. And we've got all kinds of denominations out there caught up way swing, way right, way swing, way left. People wonder, who's right? Who's wrong? You know, is this right? Is this wrong? Well, we got to go all the way back to the beginning. We got to go back to the beginning. And if we can see that, then we got something to stand on. We got a foundation. We got a rock that stands the test of time. We know that rock is Jesus. But what's bad is when you know, Jesus was said this way, that if the eye is full of darkness, the whole body is. So, you know, if that foundation is off just a little bit, man, you can get into some wild, wild stuff. And so what I'm talking about here, the search for self-worth, this is not a feel-good lesson that we're going to go through. I'm going to rock your world, okay? I can just tell you that ahead of time. Because we've got to see this. We have got to see it. It affects every one of us. And until we see that, and you know, there's a bunch out, and I hear this every week, and I just think, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. You know, there'll be a bunch go to church today and told what a terrible person they are. They're going to hell and all this other stuff. And there'll be a bunch to church, and you may be one of them that's coming out waiting on a breakthrough. You know what I mean? There's many people waiting on a breakthrough for what? But I mean, there they are. There's many people who are broke and busted and it's going to give what little bit of money they got away to some preacher today, thinking they're sowing a seed. But where does all this stuff come from? Now, what does that anything have to do with this self-worth, this self-loathing? And the thing that I really want to do, I mean, I don't know how people, I don't know how they approach Jesus. I really don't. I can't speak for you. I know when I first grew up, you know, when it was coming into the church, I loved church. I love church, but church was on Sunday. So any other day than Sunday, I'm longing to go to church. You know what I mean? Because I really believe Jesus, I guess, lived in the church building. And that was the only time you could go down there, you know. I didn't really think he lived in the church building, but I thought he showed up on Sundays. So I'm longing all week. And you know, a whole lot of people are that way. They long all week for the presence of Jesus, thinking, man, I hope the presence of Jesus shows up at church Sunday. Or they hear a report. Oh my God, I couldn't go on Sunday, but I heard a report. Jesus was there. And then you feel bad. Aren't we talking about self-worth here? The search for self-worth? I'm longing for self-worth. And you know, we got to be careful how we lay this foundation, because when I lay this foundation, I don't want you to get the impression that I'm saying anything goes. I'm not. That seems to be the way of the culture today too. Hey, go to church and that means anything goes. It's okay to do whatever you want to do. That's wrong too. And we got to see all of that. I mean, Jesus warned us, the prophets warned us, they'll call evil good and good evil. There are some things, guys, in this world that are wrong. We got to be bold enough to say it. There are right things and there are wrong things. So, if you remember last week, And guys, everything I'm telling you here is going to affect you. It's going to affect your relationship, your marriage. It's going to affect the relationship to your neighbors. It's going to affect your relationship to God. Everything I'm going to tell you. This is maybe the most vital teachings I've ever did. You say that now and you're all happy. Now wait about 3 weeks. See how happy you are. But remember me telling you, when you hear these things, don't sit there and think, oh man, he must be talking about somebody else. Let this soak in. If you remember last week, we got Adam. I'm just going to throw this out there. What was Adam's wife's name in the garden? Anybody remember? I'm going to say no. She didn't have a name in the garden. It was his lady. Remember? This is my lady. Just call her woman, but the word was lady. This is my lady. And we'll look at this stuff here later on, and it's very important. And see, I wanted to trap you right there. It's very important why he didn't name Eve in the garden. But see, we just assumed Adam and Eve in the garden. It wasn't Adam and Eve in the garden. Very little details. It's very specifically recorded. He did not call her Eve until after the fall, after they're out. Why? I'm not going to tell you till next week. Adam and his lady in the garden. You remember I gave you the equation. This equation is going to be important. You know in math we have equations. Equations mean this is how we get to a conclusion. Or we get to the answer that we're looking for, the equation. And the equation was this, the answer is this is who you are. And this is the equation to get to the answer of who you are. That equation was you're made in God's image. Made free to bear in yourself the love of God and to image Him in creation. None had truly bore the image of God until Christ came. So much that He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Guys, you are made to bear that image. So much to say that if they see you, they've seen Jesus because you're bearing that image. That's who you are. You're free to do that. That's you reaching your potential. Okay? Now take that plus, we're in an equation here, plus you're unconditionally loved. And that is, this is so important here, that is a voice from the outside says, a voice from the outside says, I've bestowed my love upon you. This is still part of the equation. And plus, here's another plus, we got A plus B plus C equals who you are. So here's the C part. I'm able to respond to that love and know it and rest in it. I'm able to respond to that love. You know what that response is called? It's called faith. We had a good little study on Wednesday night talking about faith and All the religions, they talk about faith, but faith to all the other religions means I'm bringing my offering to God, hoping it's enough. But to a Hebrew Christian, we bring our offering knowing that God said, this is enough. God said, here's my offering, now bring this to me. What did He say? God through Jesus says, here's my table. Do this in remembrance of me. We don't have to do anything. It's what He said to do, and we did it. I don't have to say, was that enough? Did we do it right? Did we, did I perform enough? So I come in faith. I'm able to respond to it. Now remember, I'm made in the image. I'm unconditionally loved. I'm able to bear that image. Those are the A plus B plus C equals this is who you are. That's who you are. So, we're in the garden here. Don't forget this picture. I'm going to put you in the garden. We're in the garden here. Adam and his lady. Adam has just named all the creatures. And in that, he had to look in their eyes and see that there's none like him. Right? He looked at all of creation. creation is all, there's none like him. There's none like, none that can be compatible with him. No help me. No, none of those he can really have a relationship with. So God puts him to sleep and makes him a lady out of his side, and they stand in awe of each other. They're married. She's bone of my bone. She's my lady. So here they stand in awe of each other. They know that they're loved. They know that they're loved unconditionally. They know they're loved with an infinite love. This is their position in the garden. I mean, that's pretty daggone awesome. Which means if Adam knows he's loved and his lady knows that she's loved, then they can come to each other without sucking the life out of each other. You know what I mean by that? There are husbands, there are wives who suck all the life out of their husbands or their wives because you need to make me feel loved. They didn't come to each other saying, you make me feel loved. They got that from God so they could approach each other with that full love in order to give. You see what I mean? Most people get into a relationship because they feel something is missing and you are going to be the one to give it to me. And as soon as you don't, off with you, I'll get another one. You know? So I'm coming into the relationship with an empty barrel saying, fill it. This is a saying, guys, and it's a romantic saying. And I remember because I like sports and I watch sports movies, but there's a movie with Tom Cruise, and I'm trying to think name of it. He's a sports agent. And he goes in and he's talking to this girl and she says, you complete me. That's it. Yeah. You complete me. Oh, that sounds great. It sounds great to go to a woman and romantic say, you complete me. But if that is true, you're doomed. God completes you. You're complete in him. Paul was a romantic, wasn't he? Paul said, you're complete in him. Now, out of that completeness, I could go into a relationship. Anything else is doomed to fail. Yeah. It's doomed to fail. Okay, so they come in all of each other. They come in all of each other. Not needing that love, but love to give away. They stand in awe of each other because of the relationship to God. Because of what God has bestowed upon them. What has God bestowed upon them? His unconditional love. Are you with me here so far? And out of this, what does it mean when you tell somebody God loves you? I don't know about you guys, but I've heard people tell me that I want to slap in the head. I really did. I'm just telling you the truth. Because most of the time people tell you that when you're at the very bottom. I don't know if you've ever felt like a possum in the road, not one crossing the road. The one crossing the road, Kathy's got a chance. But I'm talking about one that's done hit by 14 Mack trucks, and I'm laying there and the flies is on me, and then somebody comes up and says, Jesus loves you. You know what I mean now. I want to hit him upside the head. What does it mean? God loves you. God's love is an energy. Y'all know what energy is. Energy. It means it's infinite energy. And it's working, ever working, to bring this man and this woman here to their fullest potential. But we're still in the garden. So this energy, this love energy of God is working to bring them to their fullest potential of being a human being. To the ultimate fulfillment of being a human being. And that is to live to the fullest in God, and God to live in them. See, they had never made it to that point yet, but that was their potential. To live to their fullest in God, and God to live in them. And I would say this, that was to bring them to wholeness. Right? Why do you think Jesus would ask the question, do you want to be made whole? We think God was missing an arm and God may, you know. Stay with me here. So that's what it means when I say God loves you. It means there's an energy, a love energy that has surrounded you right at this very moment. It formed you in your mother's womb. A love energy did. Formed you in your mother's womb. And that love energy has been working and working and working and is still working right now. It's a work in your life to bring you to your fullest potential as a human being. Never stops working. Love energy. See, we don't see. Religion tells you, oh my God, you sinned, Oakley. You sinned yesterday. God left you. He can't, you know. You messed up yesterday. Oh my God. You know, so he left. This love energy cannot leave. It's who he is. Loves you unconditionally. It's ever flowing to you. I mean, there's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. This love is ever coming at you, will never stop. Now, whether you partake of it, or you walk in it, you relish in it is one thing. But believe you me, it doesn't stop flowing. Never stops. So if that's what it means, God loves you, then what went wrong in the garden? Something major went wrong. And I know you know the Bible, but I don't know if you ever really read it, if you ever really looked at it, if you ever said, Lord, take me there. I want to see. I want to know what happened. Because something went wrong, guys, because all these things I just described to you, I don't feel very often. I most of the time feel inferior. I mean, I don't know how you feel. You might feel superior. I don't. Most of the time, I feel stupid. I feel worthless. That's how I feel most of the time. So something went wrong. I was meant to live in this full potential here, but yet 99% of the time, I feel useless. I feel worthless. I feel stupid. I feel ashamed. I feel guilty. I mean, am I the only one? You guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, how could you feel inferior and worthless and stupid if what I just said is true? If God's unconditional love is coming to you, something happened. A breach happened. Something took place. I mean, you ever feel unlovable? Why do you think people get in toxic relationships before? Because they feel unlovable. That's why we get all messed up. You feel loved, you don't get no messes, but when you don't feel loved, Katie, bar the door. Here it comes. Something went wrong, and I know in our minds we're thinking, they sin. I mean, let's throw the religious terminology out the window. Let's don't be religious when we read here. Yeah, they messed up. They sin. You know, in today's church, you know what would have happened? This had nothing to do with the lady and the Satan. Today's church, it would mean, I guess she showed up in the garden wearing breeches. Right? I guess she showed up with earrings and breeches on, and God ain't having that in his garden. And she let her hair down. She didn't have it up in a bun that day. And hussy put on makeup. Because I thought that's what sin was. But now I'm going back to the very beginning here and seeing what took place. Something happened here. Something happened 6,000 years ago that causes me to feel unloved today. Right? Something happened all the way back there that caused me to feel stupid today. So we've got to look at it. We've got to look at it. What does it mean they sinned? What happened? I'm going to tell you guys, the rebel leader of a cosmic rebellion came. There was a cosmic rebellion taking place. And this dude shows up. His name is Satan. The devil. He shows up. And he comes to the original couple named Adam and his lady. Now, I gave you the plus, the A plus B plus C equals this is who I am. So this guy, this Satan, shows up with an alternative meaning to life. Again, forget the religious stuff. Throw this stuff out. Remember, there was a voice from the Creator that said, this is who you are. You're made in my image. You're made to bear my love. You're unconditionally loved. You're made to respond to that love. Rest in my love. And out of that rest and in my love, go and perform. So the Satan comes with an alternative suggestion. So there's two voices now. Two voices. God's voice comes with truth. It is truth. This is who you are. God's voice comes with truth. And look, if the inventor, the Creator, made you and you are to function this way, that means anything outside of this truth means you are automatically in dysfunction. You're not functioning the way you're supposed to function. Do you think Jesus ever got up one morning and said, I feel worthless. I feel like a failure. Father, do you love me today? Have y'all read the Gospels real thorough over and over again? Did he wake up? I mean, when he says, go down there and be baptized, but John, you're the Lamb. Listen, when Jesus was born, he didn't know who he was. He wasn't God floating around. He was God in the flesh, but he did not know who he was. He had to grow in this consciousness. He was tempted in all points. Do you think when he was there being tempted of Satan? If there was any doubt of his love, he would have failed. Because this is what happened here with Adam and his lady in the garden. Because Jesus went through the same temptation. If you're really loved, you could throw yourself down and a legion of angels would get you, lest you dash your foot against the stone. If you're really loved, no way you would be so hungry. You could make this stone into bread. You see? So here's Satan's voice. He comes with this alternative meaning, and I want you to get this down. He didn't come with a lie. He come with the lie. The lie. The lie that bred all other lies. You ever think about this? What's your image of Satan? I mean, they got these TV shows right now. They've even got one on TV called Lucifer. These new common TV shows. It's called Lucifer, you know. But when people think of the devil, they think of Satan. What do they think of? Red, horns, pointy tail. Or if not that, then he's got evil, mean eyes. Or, you know, he's burnt. He's whatever. You realize he was beautiful. See, he wants you to believe all them other things so that you won't believe in him. Because, you know, I mean, we can spot the devil in Walmart. There he is. Look, he's got a red suit and horns. I know, that's the devil. This guy was beautiful. The scriptures even warns about being transformed into an angel of light. He lured him in with his beauty. We don't like to talk about these things, but I'm just telling you the truth. He's very inviting. Very inviting. I mean, he was a high angel that fell. He's the one who started this cosmic rebellion. And he comes to them. He comes to this lady. To this lady, Adam's lady, and he says, did God really say? don't eat of that tree. I mean, we all know, lady, that you're the closest to him. I mean, did he really say don't eat? I mean, I heard a rumor. We heard a rumor going out throughout the universe that he said don't eat of this. You'll die. I mean, is that really true? Is that really true, lady? You know what she said? She said, yep, that's true. He said, don't eat. Don't even touch it. Don't even touch it. If we do, we'll die. That's what he said. That's what this creator said. Satan says, oh man, you gotta be kidding. I don't know how you read the Bible, but I mean, you know, he's luring them in. Oh, wait, you gotta be kidding. Did he really? Look how beautiful this place is. Look how beautiful that tree is. It's beautiful. I told you not to eat. Huh? Come. I'm telling you why. I mean, I know this guy. I know him. I know why he's telling you not to eat it. He's holding back. He knows if you eat of that tree, you'll be like him. I mean, allergic. He knows that when he made you as big as him, and right now you just don't see it, but as soon as you eat of that, you'll know you're just like him. I mean, this God has got to keep you down. He's got to keep you in the dark. He's got to keep you groveling around. Guys, now do you see? I grew up in this kind of religion. God don't want you worshiping and praising very much. He wants you groveling around at his feet. He doesn't want you in joy. No, he wants you to look forward to heaven one of these days. He don't want you to like this place too much. I'm starting to see whether this come out of the daggone line. God wants you to be miserable 6 days and rejoice for 38 seconds on Sunday. It's what he really wants. He wants to keep you down. He wants to withhold healing from you. He wants to withhold all the good things from you. He wants you to be lonely and miserable, and then you'll be a real saint of God. He wants you to hold you down. Hey, can you? Now, I mean, I'm like he, you know, the lady Eve here. I'm like, wait just a cotton picking minute. Who's this God think he is? Satan says, you're just like him. You're a God in yourself. I mean, God. I mean, think about this. Let me just come at you from a different angle. God is wanting to keep you on the eternal draw, on the eternal welfare, meaning you will always need him. What kind of creator would create a creature to always need him? You'll be on eternal welfare forever. Heck with that. Do you see what I'm talking about? I mean, you won't have to see what he wants any longer. You'll be able to do what you want when you want to do it. Then, once you do that, here's the real point of the matter. You will be able to walk right along beside of him. Co-equals. Now, guys, we got those things right now. People's got pictures on their wall of them and Jesus walking together in the sand. I told you this might hurt your feelings a little bit, but isn't that what I want? I want to be able to walk beside him. God, show me the scripture where it says that. Paul says, in him I live and move and have my being.
Yes.
I ain't seated beside him. We ain't walking hand in hand together. He's in me and I'm in him, and I will always ever live out from him.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm talking about? All this other stuff's from the life, but it's so beautiful. So beautiful. So beautiful. That I'll be as a God and we'll walk along the shores of eternity together. You See, I'm telling you what, this thing has invaded every single part of our being. And of course, I don't want to get the big head here, because I will go check with God to see how he's doing every Sunday. We'll go check in with him on Sunday. How you doing, God? And you know, sometimes, and I'm not going to get too overly boastful here, I may not be able to do it all by myself, but you know, I realize we're pretty close, and if I need you, I'll wake you up. I know you're sleeping in the back of the boat, right? I'll wake you up. Don't want to get too arrogant here. You see what I'm talking about. I'll ask for a little help, maybe, but the point is, I'll be walking beside of God instead of walking in God. That's where these words secular comes in, because secular means separation. And the whole church world today has been deluded with this separation thinking. Thinking you can be separate from God. Thinking that my work, the things that I do, was separate from God. We went fishing yesterday. You know, they say, where did you go? We were fishing at Lake Winton in Christ. That's where we were. And then when I left there, I went over to Tracy's. And I wasn't, where was you at? I was at Tracy's cleaning fish in Christ. And I went home last night and I went to bed in Christ. And I slept all night in Christ. I got up this morning in Christ. No separation. I didn't come here today, thank God. I hope God shows up here at the church today. See, all of that separation come from the lie. But see, that lie says you won't live in him. You'll know about him, but you won't know him. You won't live out from him. Right. And listen, if I'm not living out from him, what's the natural conclusion? I'll live for him. Y'all ever told that in the church? Go live for God. Do something for him. Come right out of the lie. I told you. I brought my big old axe today. Chopping right at the root of these trees. If I ain't living from God, my natural conclusion is I'm going to live for him. Do something for God. Do something for God. Going to be a witness for him. I'm going to do everything for him. It all comes out alive. You see what I'm talking about? I hope y'all come back. I'm just halfway through. He says, you've got the power. You're God. You can do it. You're the end in yourself. Guys, that was original sin. That was original sin. It doesn't sound like sin until you really listen. You know, because I told you sin today is makeup and, pants and, everything else. That original sin put this thinking in that you're no longer related to God. You're just believing about him. No longer inside. No longer inside God's love, but walking beside of him. And that is called the lie. The lie. And guys, I want to tell you what. That the lie is the foundation of the entire world system as we know it. And I'm going to show you guys as we go through this. When I say the entire world system, every government that's ever been thought of, man, has come out of the lie. Every single one of them. And you think how many governments we've had in this world. Socialism and republics and democracies and kingdoms. Every single one of them has come out of the lie. And every single one of them, if they haven't failed, will fail. They cannot function because they come out of the lie. They're built on the wrong foundation. It's the foundation of the world system as we know it. The world system that says you can do it. I mean, this is the slogan of the biggest shoe marketing in the world. Just do it. You can do it. It's in the church. You can do it. Just try harder. Try harder. Pray through. Pray for you. Pray through. Get your breakthrough. Pray. Pray through. Pray through. You can do it. Try harder. Get more people involved and you can do it. It's all a lie. All a lie. Romans 1 is the commentary on the fall. This is the commentary on the fall. Romans 1:25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. The real interpretation of that verse, the translation of that, is who exchanged the truth. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie. You know what that means? That means I've got truth. I know what God says, but I don't want this anymore, so I'm going to exchange it, and I want to become one with the lie. The lie says I'm God. Right? Now, who is this devil? Let me give you a verse here. See what Jesus said in John chapter 8, 44. Listen to this. Jesus says this. He's talking to the most religious people of the day. Talking to his own people, the Pharisees. And he says, you are of your father, the devil. Now, this is nice when we talk about somebody else saying it. Didn't I tell you don't put yourself in these positions? Because they wasn't but one that sought God, and it wasn't you. They wasn't but one that was without sin, and it wasn't you. They wasn't but one that didn't have their father as the devil, and it wasn't you. You are from beneath. He said, I am from above. These things hurt our feelings, but I'm just telling you the truth. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, the desires of that you will do. That desire is put in you. The desire for the lie is put in you and has held you captive, held you in dysfunction from all the way back here. Now, it says he was a murderer from the beginning. Now, he didn't kill Adam and his lady, but it says he's a murderer. Just a little something to think about. Because I thought, thou shalt not kill, you know, murderer. Jesus said, if you hate your brother, it's already in your heart. I don't know, just something to think about. We'll get there some way. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. This guy never stood in the truth. The truth is not in him. Because the truth said, God says you are unconditionally loved. You're made of love. But the truth is not in him. When he speaks the lie. That it says, hey, but it's the lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The father of lies. That's who he is. And man, Adam, has said, I believe you. Now that is stupid, isn't it? You ever think about going to heaven and wanting to punch Adam in the eye for causing all this? But you realize that this same temptation, this same thing has happened to each and every one of us, and we have all failed it numerous times. Adam's failure was only recorded one time here, but ours is recorded over and over and over and over. So if Adam believes the lie, what is he saying? He's saying, I am no longer a creature. I'm a God. Now, just by definition, a creature gets its life from its creator. So man says, not me, I get my life from me. So man, Adam, in this position has said goodbye to being dependent upon God. Don't want to be dependent upon God. So man, because of that, has now set himself up as the sinner. So what has man got left? Over here, he had the plus, the ABC, made in the image of God, made to be filled, made to be loved unconditionally, made to bear that image, made to respond to that image. I've said no to all of that. Now I'm over here. What have I got? I got me. I got my flesh. I got my mind. I got my emotions. That's what I got. I got me. All of those things, my mind, my flesh, my emotions, all of those things were meant to be filled with the love of God flowing through them. Now the love of God is not. I've said no to that. Now I have a new set of desires. The lust of Him you will do. So when this man has said goodbyes, remember I told you, man come with batteries not included? Man, now the source of all my correct functionality is now gone. So now I am in a state of dysfunction. So once man is separated from the love of God, do you know he's fighting his own destiny? Because your destiny was the A plus B plus C equals this is who I am. That was your destiny. Now that I'm over here by myself, I'm in the center of this whole thing, I'm fighting my own destiny. I'm fighting my own destiny. Think how stupid it is. I'm fighting my own destiny from a place of dysfunction and death. With my mind and my emotions and my flesh filled with separation and shame and guilt. Yeah. Whew, we have got a mess on our hands. We have got a cotton picking mess on our hands, and now this guy is going to go out here and marry people and be in other relationships with other people who are in the same state of dysfunction. Whew. It's a mess. It is a mess. So much a mess it took the precious blood of Jesus Christ,
yes,
to get us out of that mess. You realize that your body doesn't even function right without the love of God? It don't. Listen, you get full of anger and bitterness, malice. What's the next thing you're going to be doing? Now, don't think religious only. You're going to be saying, man, my stomach is upset. My stomach's bothered. I think I got an ulcer. Right? Why? Because you're not made to function that way. You're in dysfunction. It even affects your heart. Have you ever seen people get blood red, mad, or heart is racing? Boom, 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 boom. They're madder than, we said, they're madder than a hornet. Because you're in dysfunction. You wasn't made to function that way. It's no wonder you're all out of whack. We got a whole diagnosis of dysfunction out there because we're not operating out of the love of God. And it breaks down our body. It produces acid in our body. It causes cancer in our body. Goes through everything that we got because we're not functioning as we were intended to function. Death came in, and now death reigns. It reigns in everything, and it wasn't supposed to reign, but that's what Paul said in Romans. Death reigned. Wasn't made to function that way. Body wasn't made to function without love. Your natural flesh wasn't made to function without love. It don't work without it. Now, even worse, if man is now not related to God because I've just disowned him, who am I related to? Well, I just read you that verse. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. Huh. father, the devil. You ever just let that sink in a little bit? Your father, the devil. I've joined a family of self for myself. I've joined a family of dysfunction. You want to talk about a dysfunctional family? Who's your dad? The devil. I've joined a family of no love. I've joined a family of hate. I've joined a family of slavery. I've joined a family of shame. That's the family that you and I was born into. It's called the family of the human race. Why do you think there's such terms as redemption? Bought with a price. Bought from who? I was a slave. Slaves are bought. Slaves are put on the trading block and, you know, you bid on them or whatever. Somebody bought me. I was owned by my father, the devil. And I was redeemed out of that kingdom of hatred and guilt and shame and brought into a kingdom of his dear son. Now I have a father. That's what the Holy Spirit was. Wasn't that the promise of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit would come and he says, I'll send you a comforter. What does that word comforter mean? It means I won't leave you as orphans. What does orphans mean? An orphan means I don't have a parent. I don't have a father. He said, I won't leave you fatherless. I'll send you the Holy Spirit and he'll bear witness with your spirit that you have a father. You've got a different family.
Yeah.
Do you get that, guys? We got to know where we come from. And see, we're over here now, but we brought all this lie stuff with us. We brought all that mess over here. These next few weeks, we're going to be looking and letting the Holy Spirit come and deal with that mess that we brought over here, because it has affected every single one of us. Every one of us. So what was Adam's first reaction to his new family? He's ashamed. He's naked. He's afraid. Runs and hide. First of all, I don't know if you get this, he tries to hide from Eve. His lady. The one that was his lady before. Because God hadn't even showed up yet. So him and his lady's now hiding from each other. They're ashamed. So they're putting on fig leaves. And then when God shows up, they run deeper into the woods and hide in the trees. So they're hiding from each other. How much of us hide from each other? How much do we put on a show one to another? I'm this. Do you know how many people come through the bank in big cars and everything they do to try to show that they're a God, they're really somebody, and they're leveraged, they're in debt up to their eyeballs, but I've got to show you how much I've got. I've got to put on the front. Where does it come from? It comes from right here. Comes from right here. You with me? They're hiding from each other. I mean, what's going on here? I mean, this is the core of the belief system of the human race today. This is our story here, guys. This is our story. When man separated himself from the love of God, his first reaction is guilt and shame. He wanted to hide. And that shame has been passed on to all of us. All of us. It's that, guys, that Jesus came to deliver us from. We sang a song, I'm set free. I'm made free. Free from what? I ask people that. Okay, the truth will make you free. Free from what? If you don't know what you've been in bondage to, when somebody says you're free, free to what? I'm saying, Jesus, the truth is you were made in God's image. You were made to bear that love. You were made to bear the image of that love. You're made to respond to that love. You're made to be loved unconditionally. That's the truth. We believe the lie and I'm in slavery. The truth will make you free. I'm free from my father is the devil. I'm free from the shame. I'm free from the hate. and all of the envy and everything that goes in with that same family. That's the reason he said you must be born again. Born out of this old family into the new family.
Yes.
Do you see what I'm talking about? This is so important, guys. So important. That's what Jesus came to deliver us from. Well, I was told he came to bring us to heaven. Well, that's the P.S. I believe in heaven when you die. That's the P.S. part of it. I need deliverance today.
Now. Yes.
Now. Jesus didn't say, the truth will make you free one of these glad days. I need it today. You're in slavery today. Free us from that death, that separation, that shame that invaded our whole being. Now, let me get this out of the way here. Guilt. What is guilt? Because in the church world today, we talked about this a little bit on Wednesday. In the church world today, we don't want any guilt. Guilt is good. Hear me. Guilt is good. I know you're looking at me like, oh. What is guilt? Guilt is the horror of knowing you were wrong. And guys, I remember that horror. 1982, when I was wrong. And then again, it was in the early 90s I was wrong. You guys ain't getting it, are you? The horror of knowing you are wrong. Don't we do everything to cover that? Good Lord. That's where excuses come in. Well, the woman. The horror of knowing you're wrong. I have violated the relationship between creator and creature. But guilt is good. If you waller in guilt, thank God you waller in guilt. That means you're salvable. The worst thing in the world, and guys, I've dealt with people before who never do anything wrong. And if you don't do anything wrong, how can I help you? The whole have no need of a physician. And I have wondered, I've seen people, drug addicts, do it over and over and over and over and over again. And it's never their fault. Listen, until you got some guilt in you, when you get some good old-fashioned guilt, now I can help you. The Satan has no guilt. You see what I mean? Y'all know anybody who don't have any guilt? I didn't do it. I didn't do it wrong. It's not my fault. Well, it's my dad's fault. It's my mom's fault. It's my family's fault. It's the job's fault. It's the world's fault. It's everybody's fault. I can't help you. Guilt is good. Guilt is good. Thank God for guilt. If you came from a family that's based in guilt, that's good. Because that family that is based in guilt says, Jeff, what you did is wrong. Because guilt says that's wrong. Now, correct that. Here's what you do is right, and we move on. Right? But when there's no guilt, that means, oh, God, you know, there's no correction. You guys ever heard about correcting your child? Why would you correct your child? Because they're guilty. They stole. They lied. They broke it. They did what they shouldn't have done. And they're guilty. And you come to them with the guilt and you correct the guilt and you move on. Thank God for guilt. The scriptures are given for correction. Now see, I told you it's not always good. I always want the Bible to make me feel good. But there is guilt involved. But it's the other stuff that caused them to hide. The other stuff was called shame. Shame comes in. Shame is not double-dip guilt. It's not double-dip guilt. Guilt is I did something wrong. Shame points the finger at me and says, you're no good. Do you see the difference? Shame points a finger at me and says, you're worthless. Shame points a finger at me and says, you're unlovable. So where did the shame come from? Come from the lie. Come from the lie. What did the lie say? The lie said, I'll be as God, independent from God. I'll find my own meaning to life. See, that is sin. And you can't live independent from God. You can't. If he withdrew his breath, you would die. So sin, think about this, can't even even happen because you can't be God and you can't live independent from God. No matter how hard you try, you can't. The sin here means I'll pursue the fantasy my entire life. The fantasy I can be independent. I have this self-expectancy that I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to make it work this time. I'm going to have this or that. I mean, listen to how we do our kids. You're going to have this or that, work for it, get it. I mean, this lies invaded everything. I mean, surely if you put forth the effort, you can have this. You're a God. The truth is, it never happens. It's all an illusion. And think about this. I mean, if I know I'm a God, I'm going to hurt your feelings right here. But if I know I'm a God, is God omniscient, meaning he knows everything? Is God omniscient? Everybody says, absolutely. Does that mean God knows what you're going to say in the next 30 seconds? Does God know where you're going to be this afternoon? That means God knows the future. Now, if you're a God, heavens be. I mean, God knows the future, so you should know the future. But then shame comes at you and says, what a pitiful God you are. You don't even know the future. So what do? You sit there and writhe in the fact that you don't know the future. So there's only one thing left to do, and that's to be full of worry and anxiety, because all gods who should know the future, and I don't. So only those people who think they're a God worry. I know you're looking at me like, no, that ain't right. I'm telling you, Jesus worried. Jesus was human, living to the full potential of God. He's on the boat. All the disciples are bailing water as fast as they can bail. We're going down. Don't you care that we're perished? We're worried. What? I'm asleep back here. Did he worry? Worry comes out from the lie. Worry and anxiety comes out from the lie. There was nowhere in the Bible where it says if you really love somebody, you'll worry about them. It's not one verse in there. Not one. I told you, we got to go down and chop the roots of this thing. We got to chop at the roots. So here Adam stands at the gates of the Garden of Eden, scared to death. He doesn't know the present, much less the future. And now he's come up with new words like worry and anxiety. He doesn't know what to, I mean, Adam doesn't know what he's going to do, where he's going to go. He knows nothing. All he knows is he got kicked out. Now Adam's realizing, man, I don't have a handle on life. I'm scared. Gods aren't supposed to be scared. Something's not right here. Because I'm scared, because I'm worried, now I'm full of shame. Because I thought I ought to be perfect. I ought to do everything perfect. I ought to know everything perfectly. Because I believe the lie. The lie says you're God and God's doing everything perfect. God's never messed up. And I'm not. Therefore, I'm ashamed of who I am. I ought to be perfect so that God can be proud of me. So I crawl into the church. What happens? I crawl into the church. How am I feeling when I come to church? I'm no good. I'm no good. What happens to the preacher? He gets up here and the preacher reiterates the fact. You're no good. You're a backslider. You're a sinner. You're low down. And the only hope that you've got, and God help you right here, God help me. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I got to tell you the truth. The only hope is for you to come forward, fall down on the floor, grovel at God's feet, and man, he'll forgive you. Or if you really want to do it right and be a good Christian, rededicate yourself to God. I mean, I've heard about rededications. Over and over, I've rededicated myself to God. I'm serious now. Before, I was just kidding, but God, I vow to you to rededicate myself to you. This time, God, I'm going to read the Bible. and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to go to church 3, 4, 5 times a week. I've rededicated myself to God. All that's from the Word. You wasn't made to function apart from Him. You can't function apart from Him. And He don't need you to dedicate yourself to Him. He dedicated Himself to you. All you need to do is come and eat. You ain't got to cook nothing. Come and die. You see what I mean? He doesn't want your promises. He promised to you.
Yes, yes, hallelujah.
Do you get that? He made promise to you. You don't have the ability to promise to Him back unless you think you're a God. You got nothing. He wants you to just receive.
Yes.
To as many as received Him, to them He gave power to what? Be part of the family. To gave them the power to become the sons of God. Do you believe this? I'm telling you, the lies invaded everything. It invaded. It came in. You know, somebody, a good friend of mine, and I never say anything, guys. I never say anything. But a guy told me the other day, he was so proud of this couple that came and rededicated their life to God. I didn't say nothing. I didn't say anything. But this couple is riding high. But what's going to happen 6 months from now when the wheels fall off? When life gets them down again, they're going to be in twice the amount of shame they were to start with. I failed God again. And there'll be some preacher to drag them back through the mud again. Bunch of backsliders. Or then finally you just quit and you give up and you go away. Staying in that dysfunction. You see what I mean? You're not supposed to be able to produce the perfect life for God. You can only produce living in the functioning of the Holy Spirit. But that lie says you can. That lie says try harder. I'm telling you what, guys. That lie has spawned 1,000 churches here in Virginia. It's spawned hundreds of churches here in Tazewell and Russell County. The lie. The thing I just told you. The shame. The rededication. All of that has spawned these churches all over the place. They've popped up like weeds. All built on the lie. I'm telling you, it's pitiful. I'm going to give Jeff my 5-minute sign. 5 minutes.
One more word.
Yeah, one more. Man was ashamed because he exchanged. He believed the lie and not God. The truth says, I love you just the way you are. I made you. The lie says, you, independent of God, can be fantastic. The whole world will come to admire you. And God Himself will have to admit that you're like Him. Do you realize how much I hear every day on the church, on the church radio station here in Richlands, where the main goal is, I want to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, I want God to be so proud of me. Right? I want to enter into my reward. Get my big mansion. But when I believe that stuff, what happens, guys? It always falls, and then I'm ashamed. Then I look at myself and I say, there's something wrong with me. I'm defective. I'm worthless. I'm no good. Jesus says this to that man. He's lost. I've just spent an hour giving you a definition of lost now. Do you understand what lost is? Where's he lost at? Do you think God said, where did I put Adam? Where is Adam gone? I can't find him. Search party angels. Swoop down. See, use heat scanner. See if you can find him. Adam was lost in himself. That's where he was lost at. Lost in himself. That means he doesn't know who he is anymore. Does all this come making sense now? He doesn't know who he is anymore. voice of God speaking to you. That's what gives you your significance. Remember we talked about it. God's voice gives the significance. God's voice gives the worth. But see, now I don't know who I am because who am I listening to? I've separated myself from God. Now the only person left for me to hear is me. Right? Because I'm God. No, sure, I'm not going to listen to you. But I'm going to listen to me. You guys ever wonder what... Listen, half the people in the church, well, probably three quarters, maybe 99% of the people said, I wish God would speak to me. I can't tell the difference between my prayer and what God is saying. You ever wonder that? I can't understand. I don't. Is this God's will? Is it not God's will? I don't know. Because we're trained to just listen to our own stupid thinking, stinking thinking. Because that's all who we've listened to. Self-image is not what it's supposed to be. It's not what God says about me. So as I'm listening, I'm needing a new self-image. I'm needing a makeover. I'm needing something new. So what happens? Now I'm hiding in the trees. I'm putting my fig leaves on. I'm supposed to be perfect, but God can never love me. I'm not worth it. Putting my fig leaves on them. I'm hiding from my fellow humans. I'm saying, if you really knew me, you could never love me. I'm not perfect, so I'm going to hide from you. I'm going to hide in so many ways. We're going to be looking at all these ways that we hide, all these ways that we scour in the trees, skulk around. I feel naked. I'm afraid. Not only separated from God, I'm split inside. I'm separated from myself. I talk to myself. Anybody ever talk to themselves? And tell yourself, boy, you're stupid. Daddy says all the time, where do you think that comes from? Jesus never went around and said, dang it, dummy. So we're split. A house divided can't stand. Boy, that was stupid. So I talk to myself. Deep down I'm saying, if they really knew who I was, they would never love me. They would never like me. They knew that was the stupidest thing anybody ever did. And guys, I know about all this stuff. I mean, do you realize? I mean, I'm standing up here preaching to you. Do you realize how many times I've left here thinking that was the stupidest sermon you ever preached? Nobody's going to come back. You can't even make sense. And then those stupid jokes you tell, they're going to think you're an idiot. And then I look around and, you know, some of the churches, I'm telling you what, people could say, hey, we're going to have a meeting tomorrow of everybody take your shoe off and throw it across the road. And they would have 5,000 people show up and everybody like them on Facebook. You know, because they're a God. We'll get to that part too. So then when I come up here and, you know, when we got a regular crowd and we don't get a whole lot of visitors, nobody else comes, how do you think I feel? Do you think I go home like, great! Awesome! 26 people showed up for church today. I'm the best! You think that's how I feel? So I battle it myself. I go home and I'm thinking, you must be stupid. So wonder... You know, you hear all the excuses. You know, oh, you preach too long to say this. It's, you know, it's a thousand other things. I'm thinking, well, bottom line is you suck. That's how you feel. So I know I'm telling you the truth. Don't think that I don't go through this very same thing. That's man. That's Adam. I'm going to quit right here. That's man coming out of the garden. That's where he stood, looking back at those cherubims. That's where he was. Intent on finding life within himself.
Those are the words.
To find unconditional love, to find his identity, to find his significance, the meaning to his life, the meaning, the value of his life. He went to seek that, not of God. But now he's got to find all of that stuff in somebody else. Now do you see why we lead the world in divorce? If the lie wasn't prevalent, that wouldn't be true. But I'm telling you, it's in our relationships, it's in how we raise our kids, it's in how we deal with our neighbors, how we function in church, how we go to Walmart's, how we get our food at McDonald's. It's in everything we do. So for the next several weeks, guys, we're going to look at all the nice little roots and entanglements of this crazy thing called the lie and our search for self-worth. So I'll quit right there.